Grace and peace. I am Dr. Nicole B. Simpson, and I am so excited to bring you another episode of Dare to Dream with Dr. Nicole. I got to tell you, this has been such a joy to bring this period of time of people who desire to dream big dreams, whether they've been delayed or put on hold or what have you. So tonight, I actually have a phenomenal guest. You are going to be so impressed with this young man because not only is he daring to dream, as we love to do around here, but he is also including his dreams, combining them with individuals that may have journeyed the way that he has journeyed. His name is Mr. Damon Venable, and he is the visionary, the CEO of Transformative Reentry Preparation and Mentoring Services, LLC. Phew! And I will not be able to do him any justice in introduction. And so what I'm going to do is have him introduce himself overall, because no one can describe you better than you can describe yourself. But when it comes to dreaming dreams and pursuing them at all costs, we have a gentleman that is doing exactly that, serving to inspire and encourage other individuals. So I want to welcome to our podcast today, none other than Mr. Damon D. Venable. Hi, Damon. How are you? There you go. Welcome to, Dare to Dream with Dr. Nicole. And I just want you to start off by sharing a little bit about yourself to our audience tonight.
Well, thank you, Dr. Nicole. It's really an honor and a pleasure to be here tonight with you. So I'm Damon Venable. I'm many things. I believe that, we are not the, sum total of one event, in our lives, right? And so with that being said, I am a returning citizen. I'm a businessman. I'm a teacher. I'm a facilitator. And so going back to the first title that I gave, which is a returning citizen, I served many years in prison, and so I'm on a path of reentry right now. But in that path, that journey, I'm finding myself. So it's very, very difficult to, in forums like this to introduce myself, because I'm still a developing and evolving person. But with that being said, for the sake of brevity, So Transformative Reentry Preparation and Mentoring Services actually, stemmed from an idea I had just called PREP. That should have been the name, just PREP, P-R-E-P-P, right? But I complicated things, and PREP stands for pre and post reentry and early parole preparation, cover both angles of the reentry process. And so that's particularly what, I'm interested in. That's what I want to pursue. Is I believe that reentry starts at the moment an individual is arrested, not after a person is released. And so this is what we just call it Transformative Reentry Preparation Mentoring Services, seeks to, try to, amplify and show the world that, it's a benefit to not just the individual, but the communities itself. Because I believe that in order to heal the communities, we must first heal the individuals.
And let me interject for a moment. I'm sorry.
Sure, absolutely.
I want to interject for a moment, because one of the things as in the work that you do and that you've been committed to really addresses mindset, so that if people have the desire to dream, if they have the desire to pursue something, it starts in the mind and really visualizing that one can find themselves in a different place. So I know what you do in terms of mentorship, but absolutely, I really want you to hone in on, because you did indicate that it started from the times that someone is arrested. So how do you dream knowing, and in your own case, if you don't mind sharing, man, I'm going to still dream, and I know I may not even be able to pursue those dreams for another 15, 20, 30 years or whatever it may be. How did you get your mindset to being in a place that you could still dream? Because that's very hard to do.
Oh, absolutely. So with that being said, I spent a very, very long time in prison. I was arrested at the age of 16. I'm what you call a juvenile offender, juvenile lifer. I wound up serving 35 years in prison. And you say, wow. So, but to answer your question, doctor, one of the things that I've learned was that, and this is a lesson that, you know, you don't have to be in prison to learn. It's about not being limited by your limitations, right? And being in prison, like, is physically limited, socially limited, is legally we were limited, right? So, but I'm a human being. Like you said, I had dreams, I had goals, I had vision, I had impulses, you know, I had things I wanted to do, you know? And so you have to find ways to, you know, get around those physical, social, legal limitations. And so it took a mindset, you know, it takes a belief in yourself to try to overcome those constraints. You know, you have to be creative. And I say this, that, you know, we hear stories about the craftiness, the ingenuity of prisons, but, you know, it can go both ways, for good or for bad. You know, you can use that creative energy and that talent for bad, as we know, for, you know, deformative or regressive or bad person, or you can use it and cultivate it in a good way and it'd be for progressive, reformative, transformative actions. And so that's what myself and a host of, you know, my comrades in prison, you know, we worked on. You know, we believe, much like success is a choice, you know, your mindset is a choice. And so we chose to try to, what Maslow said, reach our self-actualizing selves.
Yes.
Despite our conditions.
Yes.
And so it was just, you know, a concerted effort to push each other to be the best versions of ourselves. And so with that being said, me per se, I found out that trying to develop a professional mindset both helped me as an individual, spiritually, socially, just, you know, interpersonally. But also the other benefit was, once I was released, you know, it gave me a step up, because, hey, if I thought I was a professional, if I acted as a professional, then I can learn, and I can learn how to be a professional, and I can earn a living as a professional. So it, go ahead.
I want to talk about the money, because when you come after that extended period of time, you know, because we can have lofty dreams. That's a reality.
Mm-hmm.
You have multiple strikes against you being a juvenile offender and being behind bars as long as you did. How did you get your mindset there, financially speaking? What were some of the very real challenges that you may have had that other people would use as a barrier to dream? What did you do to overcome that? And you might still be overcoming it now, you know, just kind of getting that financial journey intact, but you're at least managing or leveraging, you know, lack of resources with the commitment to dreams. I want people to understand it can be done at all facets of people's lives. And since I know your life, I want to make sure that other people understand, no matter what the circumstances, it can be done. So let's talk about the money. How did you overcome and make sure that that was not a barrier for you?
Well, people have to understand that, you know, in prison, you know, you are, you know, by virtue of different constitutional amendments, you know, you are pretty much slavery. Slavery is legal in the United States of America if you are convicted of a crime. And so with that being said, having a job in prison, or what they call a detail, you know, we was earning up to between 60 cents a day to $1.30 a day, you know. And that, for me, some jobs were like, you would get $30 a month credited to your account. I had a job that gave me $60 a month. And that was kind of like, you know, the high end, right? So what I did was, you know, I try to be independent. I try to be, financially independent. So I got a paid for college. I saved my money. I was very frugal. And I just denied myself, you know, I try to live an austere, mortifying lifestyle. I just denied myself because I wanted to go to college. So I paid for correspondence course that gave me a associate's degree in finance. So I learned the basic fundamentals of money management and investments, you know, early on in my prison. I think I got my finance degree when I was like in my 20s, right? So I had a basic understanding. So I just started saving. I actually left prison. So let me fast forward. I actually left prison with about $5,600.
Wow.
Right? I said, this $5,600, you know, could provide me at least a 2 to 3 month cushion if things go bad. And that's all I need was three months, because I came out of prison with 3 college degrees and with a mindset. I said, 3 month cushion, that's all I need. And so fortunately, with the grace of God and a good family support, it didn't take 3 months. I came right out with job offers, you know, wasn't the best jobs, but you know, I didn't care about that. I think I took a job working at a warehouse, very dangerous, but it allowed me, Doc, to not tap into my savings. You know, it allowed my savings to, you know, so I was just sacrificing. And I think ultimately that's what it comes down to. Like, what do you want and how seriously committed you are to achieving that dream?
You know? So I keep smiling because every time I have a conversation with you, it just impresses me more and more and more. You know, just in the fact that if we want to keep it 100 with the audience, you know, in order to take a college class, I just recently found out that it's on average of $300 a credit, I mean, a class. And so I don't think people understand that when you, even if you go to college behind the four walls, if we look at the economic parity between what we deal with out in the world, because I got so much student loan debt that is crazy, mm-hmm. versus your income level at that time and your ability to save for something that you were committed to doing, that's a part of mindset as well. Absolutely. And application. And so, you know, that's why I wanted people to understand it and hear, you know, some of the steps that you took, because we oftentimes, and I mean society at large, will use lack of resources as a crutch,
as an excuse.
Not to dream. And so, you know, I'm here to dispel all of those myths that it cannot be done, because I absolutely believe that it can be done. And a lot of your work, in addition to you having a finance degree, and you said you came out with 3, you are a bona fide paralegal, and that's where you've landed now. And now you have that business. So I got some ideas for you in order to dream big dreams, economically speaking. But I do want you to just address a little bit of how you see them working hand in hand, and the privilege and the dream job that you have now in your paralegal work. Because I know you've shared that with me behind the scenes. And so I think that the audience would love to hear it, because it's really service, but it's still professional. So please go ahead and share that with us.
And just to summarize, you wanted me to share with my paralegal you know, expertise and something else. What was the
and how that correlates with the business that you just established? Your component.
Okay, right. Yep. So yeah, and so they all go hand in hand, Doc. I mean, it's, you know, they all stem from a passion of mine. They all stem from, you know, a belief of mine, but most importantly, they all stem from, you know, something that I'm good at, right? It's, so
it matters a lot.
That matters a lot, right? And so I knew early on in my prison experience that once I was released, I pretty much should have been a professional. That's what my parents, you know, try to instill in me. That's what they wanted for me, you know, and things of that nature. So I basically went full circle and was motivated by trying to you know, live up to, you know, be the good son, the prodigal son. So fast forward, I was a paralegal for 25 years in prison, and that caught the attention of some attorneys, you know, out here in society, you know. And so right now, today, you know, I work part time as attorney assistant with the Office of the Public Defender, but also with my business. I do a lot of, you know, reentry preparation work, meaning that I just be there as a support mechanism for returning citizens, not just returning citizens, but any individual who has experienced some traumatic ordeals in their life, like addiction, incessant career failures, you know, things of that nature. And so to your point, I just try to show and be an example that despite your conditions, despite your history, despite, you know, listen, I believe that you are not what you've been through, right? We are not, I did 35 years in prison. I am not what I've been through.
Right.
And this is what I try to, this is how I live my life, Doc, is I just try to be an example or epitomize the people. You are not what you've been through, but what you've been through can help, is a path that you and you alone had to take, but doesn't mean that you have to be entrenched and locked into it. You know, it's there for a reason. And are you gleaning and, you know, taking the lessons from those travails to the best of your ability? And so, yes, I'm an attorney assistant, but they're all intertwined, Doc, because I give out legal advice to returning citizens. I'm a drug counselor. So, you know, I help them with substance abuse issues. And hey, listen, you know, I'm going to toot my own horn here. I'm a charismatic guy. So I have a lot of contacts with other reentry professionals who see the seriousness of me and my dedication. So they say, hey, listen, you know, if you have an individual with housing problems, if you have an individual, let's say a female that has issues endemic specifically that women return to citizens deal with, hey, send them to us. So I have, you know, fragile, I wouldn't say fragile, but like, just like, you know, partnerships on good faith, like nothing etched in stone, but proven nonetheless. So as referrals. And so returning citizens is a community, much like the recovery community is a community in which professionals and everybody, you know, help each other and lend their, you know, their spiritual and God gifts out to each other. It's kind of like a bartering system, you know, hey, I do for you, you do for me. And I'm just loving it. And hey, listen, I'm still deep in the throes of my reentry. Let's not get it, you know, twisted, you know.
I want to say two things. One, it's not bragging if you can back it up. There's a wise man by that said that. So I just wanted to point that out because you know there's something about that, right? So that's the first thing. But the second thing that I think is very important in terms of what it is that you're doing, and I want to make sure that, you know, as you're dreaming and you're continuing to pursue and you've acknowledged that you are still deeply entrenched in your recovery process, I don't want people to miss the fact that what you had done at a limited amount of resources for 25 years as a paralegal and continuing to invest in yourself, you now are being compensated to do, you know, from a local community that we don't need to know that, you know, which community. Right. But that skill set, that's the thing that I want to hone in on. That talent, that gift, that skill set makes economic room for you. So one of the things that is very important to me when I talk about dreaming and ensuring that people are not only daring to dream, but recognizing that in the faith tradition that I'm in as a Christian, God will allow that to bless you financially to be able to do what it is that you're doing in serving. And so here you find yourself not only serving, but you're also working in a place where you have an opportunity to serve. And when you first got this job, I'm telling his testimony, y'all. When you first got this job, one of the things that you talked about after that first week was, you know, being able to help those that you've spent time with. So I want people to see how, you know, when you're dreaming sincere, authentic dreams and pursuing them, and they're connected to service, God will not only provide for you financially, but the work that you do just does not have economic value attached to it. It's just so rich spiritually and emotionally and for all of us socially as well. So please just kind of elaborate on that aspect as well, because your talent made room for you, you know, and you cultivated it still while you're behind the four walls. And I think that that's a very powerful, very important message that needs to go across the airwaves.
So I would say this, that, you know, one of my biggest fears outside of, you know, dying in prison was getting freedom, acquiring freedom, and one, not living up to my potential. And three, you know, how was I going to make a living, right? And so my whole one of my drives, Doc, was to try to collect as many skills as I could. So I can just run the list, gamut of a litany of stuff of, you know, the skills that I acquired in prison. Well, we might not have enough time for that. So just take my word. I just want you in the audience to take my word. I acquired a lot of skills in prison, right? However, one of the things that I've learned before my entry into the world was how to transfer those skills once you're home into viable streams of income. That's one of the biggest, that is probably the biggest challenge facing a lot of return to citizens. Because for one, let me tell you this, just having survived mass incarceration says you have a skill set that can be, if you discover it, that can be, you know, generate a stream of income, huh?
It's called monetize.
Monetize. You can monetize. Thank you, right? I want to get all fancy with how to monetize.
Regularly.
Right. So my whole thing was like, well, just acquire as many skill sets as you can, because hey, listen, like it would be enriching for me personally, but also it would increase my odds of finding my niche that I could monetize out in the world, right? And so, look, you know, I'm still like 15 months, 14 and a half months home, and I still can't believe that here it is. I was a guy in prison making $60 a month, $60 a month for giving out legal advice, $60 a month for counseling, doing mentoring inside, $60 a month, with now being in a position to just, I mean, sky's the limit, honestly, right? And so, I'm, as you know, still putting together, you know, the inner workings and functionalities of my business. And so right now I'm working on, among other things, price lines, products, and things of that nature. Like things like I have the skill sets, but now it's like, okay, you have to categorize, you know, your skill sets and put a price line on it. And so I'm like, I can do it, but I've never done it before, but I know what I can do. But it's challenging, but it's fun at the same time. But to answer your point, I think it's a wonderful experience. Right now for me, it's very humbling, and it's a dream. I was there to dream, and it's a dream being realized every day for me. And that's like one of the best feelings, you know, in the world. And so I don't have a reason to be depressed. I don't have a reason to be like, wake up like, oh, whoa, it's me. Didn't do that in prison, and I'm damn sure not going to do it out here in the world with a bounty full of potential for making money, helping people, making money from helping people, and just, you know, just enjoying life. And you know what? You can make money from just doing the things you enjoy doing in life. Ain't that something? So, wow. Yeah. So I hope I answered your question, you know.
You did. And I actually have, a strategy for you as you continue to dare to dream. And so here's some of the things that I want to make sure that you are aware of in terms of doing it. And if I were to tell you, hold on one second. If I were to tell you what to do, the first thing that I would encourage you to do is, identify exactly where it is that you are. Recognize that you have what's called W-2 income, and you have this opportunity with this business that you have to generate income that would be deemed 1099, or money that you're able to accumulate under the name of the business. Leverage what it is that you are gaining as your stability in your W-2 income to make sure that you're building up the business overall. So you want to make sure that you create your budget based off of your W-2 income, stay within the parameters of that. You already know what that looks like because you've done it on multiple occasions before in terms of, for many years, being able to live a frugal lifestyle. And so since you have that opportunity and you're making the money and you have a great support system, keep that same trend, that energy in terms of saving. But the big opportunity for creating and acquiring wealth comes through the transformative reentry preparation and mentoring services, because now you have a chance to say, this is what I'm worth. And you're able to say, this is how much I want to make. And I would encourage you to think, how much am I willing to work for per hour? Right. So when we sometimes look at our W-2 income, we sometimes get ridiculous in our own. But if you're making $17, $19, $21 working for someone else, then make sure that as you're doing your own business, that you price point what I'm willing to give in exchange of my time for working hours, because now this is your baby. Plus, you also have the expenses that you're able to write off in that business. And so you have a plethora of opportunities and skills that you said. So as you're coaching, individuals, you'll have a price point for that. As you do the public speaking, you'll have a price point for that. If you're doing other things, these are the areas in which you must recognize that you have price points in those particular areas. And so once you identify your price points, every three seminars or workshops, what you're able to do is increase it if you want to. I think sometimes we get limited to where we are, and we don't revisit the ability to earn money. You are also an instructor, so you have an opportunity to say, as an instructor, my, you know, with my credentials, what it is I have, what I bring to the table, what I'm able to do is charge X amount of dollars. And so if you want me to teach, I can go into a contract for that. All of those things really define where it is that you're going financially. Once you do that, you then want to say, see, what is reasonable and customary in your ordinary course of business? Because you're a public persona, that's where you're going. That's the direction that you're going in. Because you're a public persona, there are things and expenses that you get to write off that other individuals may not write off. So now your visual looks different. Now, you know, what it is that you make the investment into clothes or attire, or, you know, you're able to write that off because it's reasonable and customary. Right. As here now, that if you were, you know, to do some level of grooming just to be in front of people as a speaker or a teacher, you are able to write those expenses off. As you are doing preparation, whatever it takes in order to do that level of preparation, those are things that you're able to write off. The benefit of that is you're reducing your tax liability in the current year. I know it sounds like a lot, but these are the areas in which, for one that desires to be financially free, you must understand what it is that you bring to the table, what becomes a part of what makes you do what you do financially successfully. And so then you're able to take all of that and offset your W-2 income, whatever taxes that you pay there, to increase your ultimate bottom line financially. I invite you, encourage you, you know, to have two separate budgets. One is the personal budget and the other one is the business budget. Have goals and objectives in the business. Okay, so that looks like this. I want to speak 8 times in 2023. And if I can just earn $250 as a speaker 8 times in 2023, now I've created a line item for what it is. Once I hit the threshold of speaking 3 times, this is my own advice as a financial advisor. I have one set of guidelines, but as a speaker, my price point continued to go up. Every time I booked myself a three speaking engagement, I bumped it up $500. That's just me. I don't know where you want to start, but I'm just telling you how you're able to do that. As an instructor, you want to be in alignment with what other instructors are getting. And so you say, well, if I teach an average of 10 to 15 hours, you know, each semester, then I'm going to make X amount of dollars here. And you want to make sure that you identify all of that. And that's how you begin to do the exciting work that you're doing now. And so I just absolutely believe that you are going to, you know, really change the world with what it is that you're looking to do. One thing that you didn't announce that, you know, I'm just going to give him a little snippet. He's doing some exhaustive writings. And, you know, oftentimes when people do that, it's an amazing thing. So do you have any questions, any thoughts, any final areas of concern that you would like to share, or any questions for elaboration from me?
I mean, I love the, you know, that the breakdown, what you said about the W-2 income and, you know, the business income, how, you know, offsetting it and things of that nature. So I know you were, you know, you spoke about an upcoming, I guess, you know, class of yours, right? Will that class tackle that very issue right there? not just tackle it, but kind of like instruct us on like how to navigate that. Because, you know, in theory, I get it. But the practice of it, obviously, you know, is new to me. And so it's something that I really, at this point in my life, like really need to learn very fast, because, you know, I am generating, W-2 income, obviously. And, you know, it's slow moving now, but from the business side, you know, slow income is starting to come in too. And so I need to kind of like learn
how they marry to each other.
Right. Yes.
So since this is Dare to Dream with Dr. Nicole, I will provide you that information offline. Overall, I will make sure that you have it. But absolutely, there is a way to make sure that you know how to merge, marry, complement W-2 income with 1099 income. So we will definitely get you that information overall. Damon, I just want to encourage you to keep doing what it is that you're doing. I have been tremendously blessed in terms of us coming together overall to do this great level of work. And I'm so glad that you were willing to dare to dream with Dr. Nicole. And so as we continue to move forward, are there any, I don't want to cut you off before I do my closing, but is there any words of encouragement that you would like to give to the audience before we say our goodbyes?
Yes. So for me, you know, I believe that, you know, I'm very philosophical, I'm very spiritual, but philosophy was something that really helped me keep my sanity in prison, not just keep my sanity, but tap into my intellectual and creative potential. And so I, you know, won't get long-winded, but I say all that to say is that, you know, I believe that, you know, as individuals, we are composite structures of everybody we encounter, for good or for bad. However, depending on how you take those encounters for the betterment of yourself determines the outcome of the individual. And so what I mean by that is I've encountered a lot of professionals. I've encountered a lot of good people, and I've encountered a lot of bad people. And I just want to say that, you know, it's developing that mindset, that professional mindset, to be able to scrutinize, I like what Dr. Nicole is and manifests in terms of a quality or aspect. I want that. You know, or this individual over here who, you know, emits or radiates, you know, some negative quality or bad behavior. It's like, oh, you know, one of the signs of intelligence is using indirect knowledge to your benefit. So that's why I say we are composite structures of everybody we meet. And so for me, I say all that again to say is that I'm very observant. That's what prison, you know, has done to me. So I'm very observant of people, and I take cues from people. And I think that, you know, I'm trying to learn like how to use that, or use your word, to monetize it, you know,
you know, to monetize it.
But no, so I just want to end saying that, you know, I think, I really believe that, and I tell you this all the time, I say, hey, you know, where you been all my life? You know, you have been, you know, such a blessing, such an inspiration to me. I mean, in just a short amount of time that we have known each other, I've gotten so much done, you know, creatively, you know, and just, you know, productively that, I just look so forward to some of the many projects that you and I are collaborating on. And listen, this is not just a chance encounter. I look forward to, you know, many years in your presence and under your tutelage. And I, once again, just thanks for having me. It's just a blast. And anytime you need me, just listen, I'm just phone call away. I got you.
Ooh. Well, listen, let me just say this in my closing. Thank you so much, Damon. I really appreciate it. I think I need to cut a commercial off of that right there. Daring to Dream with Dr. Nicole. For those of you that have been listening and tuning in to us for this particular podcast, one of the things that I really want to share with you guys is that I have or run what is called the Dare to Dream Institute, and we have students that come through it in order for them to pursue from an entrepreneurial perspective their goals and their dreams. So I do believe it's very important to take whatever gifting that God has given to you, the skill set, the gift, whatever it is that he has bestowed upon you, and monetize it and watch God work and move in your life. And so we'll try to get you some information on that, as well as the masterclass that Mr. Venable had alluded to, you know, right here, even on D-Free.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through Next Financial Group Incorporated, a member of FINRA SIPC.